There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
Hey, Maria.
Yeah, Amanda?
Let's go on a vacation.
I'm still a little nervous about traveling.
But what if I told you that we could take our dream vacation without ever leaving the house?
Like a playcation?
Exactly. Welcome to Playcation. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Maria. Each week we plan fantasy vacations to the same location.
And you vote on whose trip you'd rather take. It's so sad.
It just might be fun.
Now, if you're curious about who won the Berlin Playcation episode, check out last week's Unpacking where we announced the results and also go over a lot of listener feedback. And there was a lot. And of course, we want to hear from you. And if you haven't voted, follow us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter to vote for this week's episode. So this week we are going to Hokkaido, Japan. Maria, how was your planning?
Well, the planning was, it was a lot. There's a lot to do. This is an adventure lover's paradise.
That is what they say. And they're... It's big.
Oh, it's huge. Yes, it's big, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed learning about this region. I didn't really know anything about it. So yeah, it was fun. How was yours thing?
Did you forget my name?
How was yours thing, girl?
You know, you always call me girl. Do you, like, what do you think my name is?
Amy.
That's what my neighbors call me.
Which we have learned that is maybe a short version of Amanda.
I don't think so. They just think my name is Amy. I loved researching this trip. It took me, similarly to Berlin, it took me, you know, a couple of hours to like kind of sort out what my angle was on Hokkaido and like sort of how to hook in. But once I found it, I was like, oh, I got so into it. And now I got to say my Hokkaido trip is up there with my Berlin trip as far as like how much I'm dying to actually go there.
Wow. It is wild because when you look at the map and you see a place, you go, oh, let me dig my nails into this.
Mm-hmm.
But once you really get your hands in there, it's really opening your eyes to a whole new world. It's like reading a book.
Well, they do say travel broadens the mind. And I think we're broadening our minds, even though we're just doing this from home.
Internet travel is like listening to an audiobook, where real travel is like reading a real book. This is like reading an audiobook.
Well, I would take that further and say real travel is like really living a life. And like it's not like reading a book.
And then internet travel is like reading a blog.
Well, it is reading blogs. That's almost all it is.
So shall we get into it? Should we just get into it?
Yeah. So just to recap, last week we spun the wheel of adventure. Maria is on a romantic getaway, traveling luxury in fall with kids.
And Amanda is eat, pray, loving in extreme comfort in the summer. In a cruel twist of fate, she also is traveling with kids.
Let's take off. Are you ready to go to Hokkaido?
Let's go!
Travel from Los Angeles to Hokkaido typically requires a layover in Tokyo, making total travel time somewhere around 14 hours. Hokkaido is a few degrees cooler than mainland Japan throughout the year, and each season offers its own special delight. World-class skiing and hot springs in winter, cherry blossoms in spring, a surprisingly non-humid summer season with jaw-dropping wildflowers in summer, and gorgeous fall foliage.
Hokkaido is the second largest island of Japan. LonelyPlanet.com writes, Hokkaido is the Japan of wide open spaces, with 20% of the country's land area, but only 5% of its population. There are large swaths of wilderness here, with primeval forests, tropical blue caldera lakes, fields of alpine wildflowers, and bubbling, in-the-rough hot springs. In summer, all this, plus the cooler, drier weather, draws hikers, cyclists, and strollers. In winter, cold fronts from Siberia bring huge dumps of light, powdery snow, which has earned Hokkaido a reputation as a paradise for skiers and snowboarders.
Dumps of snow. The island's stunning natural scenery and the promise of outdoor adventure tend to overshadow everything else Japan's northernmost island has to offer, which is a lot. There is excellent food, especially seafood, a vibrant capital, and a compelling history, starting with the legacy of Hokkaido's indigenous people, the Ainu. TravelandLeisure.com states that Hokkaido is Japan's great wild frontier. The island has always been popular with Japanese honeymooners and winter sporters, but lately a whole lot of other folks are starting to take serious notice of this wonderland in the north. The largest city in Hokkaido is its capital, Sapporo. And now it's time to playcation.
Well, Amanda,
okay,
it's time for you to put on your travel boots and tell me what's going on in Amanda Land.
Okay, so my Hokkaido trip. So as you know, I'm a Japan fanatic. One time I was there, and I was there for an extended period of time in my early 20s. And then I went back another time with Matt a couple of years ago. And both times we spent a bunch of time in Tokyo because that's what I'm most familiar with. But then Matt and I also traveled around and we went to like the Japanese Alps, but I've never been to Hokkaido and I didn't know much about it. And I really was surprised by what I found out in my research. Like, it was a whole other ball game planning this trip.
Yeah.
And especially traveling in summer, because what I did know about Hokkaido was it's kind of skiing and onsens, which, you know, are maybe more of a winter thing. And so I was kind of like, wow, Hokkaido in summer, like, what is this? And then I realized. So Hokkaido
realize? God.
I realized that Hokkaido in summer and winter has a real alpine vibe.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Like super alpine. There's flower fields, super agricultural, and they're known for their dairy.
I believe you me. I'm aware.
Uh-oh.
No, well, no, I didn't. I didn't. I saw it. I okay. didn't grab it, but I saw it. I'll tell you, it floated okay. by and I was going to take a grab, but I didn't.
Okay. Because I have a very dairy-centric trip.
Oh, my God.
So pack your Lactaid. But I just want to say that after really looking into Hokkaido, I just became so obsessed with it because it has the wonderful things I love about where I have already been in Japan, like, you know, the little villages and just the wonderful restaurants and seafood. And my second favorite trip I've ever taken in real life is going to the Swiss Alps.
When I think of you and Matt going on vacation, I think of Japan and Swiss Alps. And so this is...
It's the perfect, like, yeah, confluence of those two trips. And I'm now determined to go to Hokkaido.
Wow.
In the next 5 years, maybe 7 years.
Or what? What can I hold you to? How much money? Or else what will you owe me?
Or I'll pay you $5 million.
Oh, okay, let's get you there. Let's get you there. Okay. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to get you there.
No, you're going to do everything you can to sabotage me. Okay, so just as a reminder, I'm eat, pray, loving in summer with children, which was a real mind melder. And I have an extreme comfort budget, which is between $250 to $600 a night. I will say, I don't really think you need that much money in Hokkaido, no. But no, not the way I want to do it.
Now, Amanda on the Google Doc has a picture of just a woman looking at a laptop. It's a stock footage. What is this?
Okay. Well, I Googled serious businesswoman
And so this woman is my character.
Oh my God. What is she holding in her hand? A fan?
Well, she's holding an empty styrofoam coffee cup.
She looks insane. She looks, her hair is pulled back, but there's a part, there's a side part that's still showing.
Oh, doesn't her hair also look like it's wet?
Yeah, it looks wet. Her blazer is ill-fitting. She's in a completely white room with just a laptop. And her
and the laptop seems to be made out of cardboard.
Yeah, this is a shocking image. And there, it does seem to be some sort of plant behind her, but she's blocking it with her, with her stature, with her very intense demeanor.
Yeah, that's some straight posture.
She looks okay, fierce. So, she looks scary, but okay.
Well, that's me for this Hokkaido trip, and that's Diane.
Oh, my God.
So, Diane, I am Diane. I am a very sort of serious and severe auditor. And I'm not really sure what an auditor is, but it, and sorry if anyone out there is a very friendly auditor, but to me, it sounds kind of mean. Okay. So I'm all work and no play. And frankly, I'm burned out. I think there's some sort of meltdown happened. I don't really know. I'm coming into work with my hair wet every day. So my boss, takes me aside and says, listen, Diane, you've got 10 years of vacation days. They're going to expire. You're going to snap. So you better go have fun or you're fired. And that's an order. And a little backstory on Diane. I wasn't always so serious. In fact, when I was 9 years old, I had this
Jeez Louise.
I had this best friend. She was an exchange student from Tokyo, or not from Tokyo, from Japan, who lived with my family. Her name was Tomoko. And this is based off of a real woman I met when I was in elementary school named Tomoko, who came to talk to my class about living in Japan. And then the whole class became pen pals with her, and she would send us like really cool stuff back from Japan.
But not individually. She wouldn't get a stack of letters and have to write people back like she was, you know, Selena Gomez. The mailman would come and hand her just a stack of letters, like in a bag.
Well, I will say that actually Tomoko chose like a few kids, and I think those were the ones who actually wrote her letters, and they got cool stuff from her, and I never got any, and I was always really jealous.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so Tomoko was my best friend at 9 years old. We spent like, you know, whatever. She lived with my family for a year. And we got into so much trouble together. We were so precocious. And then she would always talk to me about living in Hokkaido, Japan, and how fun it was. And I was always like, well, that sounds amazing. I'm going to go someday. Well, we meant to stay in touch, but cut to years and years later, we've, you know, a few letters back and forth. And now it's been 20 years of nothing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, so on a whim, I go, wow, Hokkaido, I've got to finally go. I'm booking this solo trip to Hokkaido. And I send a letter to the old address I have for Tomoko, just thinking that it'll never get to her, but whatever. At least I sent this letter.
Right.
I don't hear back. Anyway, off I go to Hokkaido.
Okay.
So I'm starting my trip in the southwest area of Hokkaido, and this is called Noboribetsu.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, this looks nice.
Yes, and it's an area known for its onsens and hot springs, and there's lots of onsen resorts there, which, for anyone who doesn't know, the hot springs are natural baths in Japan. They're all over Japan because there's a lot of like volcanic activity, right, and sulfur, so you get these like cool healing waters, and then these amazing onsen resorts will pop up surrounding them. And where I'm staying, because this is my favorite thing to do when I go to Japan, I always spend at least one night at a ryokan.
So is that's the same as an onsen?
Well, not really. So it's a little bit confusing because it could be an onsen because they have onsen baths there, but there are these like huge mega onsen resorts that you probably saw in your research, yeah, that are very they're cool. They're very touristy. They're like big mega onsen resorts. Right. But then ryokans are usually a lot smaller. They're Japanese style inns. It's almost like you're staying at someone's house.
Ooh,
you sleep,
okay,
usually on the floor. Mm-hmm. You get dinner's always included, and it's like a, you know, 8-course omakase menu, like very traditional Japanese food. And they're pricey.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And so that's why in real life, when I go, I'll usually do, you know, you'll do like a night or two there. Also because you can't really do these big 8-course meals every night.
Right.
It can get a little much. But the one I decided to stay in is called Takanoya Ryokan.
This looks beautiful. It's It's very sleek. There seems to be a spa. Is this a natural spring spa then?
That's a natural spring spa that you can go and use at your leisure there. And yes, it's very, there's, you know, think of like tatami mats on the floor and rice paper sliding walls and a big open sliding glass window with a view of the Japanese garden. Very peaceful.
Beautiful.
And my plan is to spend my whole trip here.
Yeah. You're trying to get back to your, say, this is an Eat, Pray, Love trip. Your head has been buried in your work for 10 years and you're ready to snap out of it by just having some relaxation. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And just so everyone knows, this room for one person is $487.50 American dollars a night. And that's the lowest level room. They go up to like over $1,000 and get more expensive the more people you have because of the dinner service that's included.
Good thing you're traveling alone.
I know, because I couldn't afford to add another person.
No, you couldn't.
Okay, so this brings me to my first activity.
What is this?
Okay,
so what is it, Amanda?
Okay, so the other thing.
What is it? You need to explain it, because right now all I'm seeing is these demons. She just has these two photos of these big demons, and she's not talking. She's just making me look at them.
Okay. So the other thing that's really important to know, and this is why evil Diane chose this location, is that this area of Hokkaido is called Hell Valley, and they say it's the gateway to hell.
No, stop.
Yes, because all of these wonderful waters from the baths that I'm luxuriating in are actually, you know, sulfur water from a volcanic valley.
Okay.
And it's this sort of like desolate crater. It's like very cool geography. So they say that the valley is said to be a gateway to hell and it's inhabited by demons. So if you go to this area, which is close to my hotel, you can walk around and they've built all of these huge demon statues as a way to keep the bad spirits away. So these demons that you're seeing right here are actually good guys.
Now, is there maybe a moment where Diane is like walking around taking pictures of these and then she sees a family walk up and take a picture of her because she's so severe they think that she too is one of the demons?
Well, yeah, especially because I'm standing so still because I'm trying to meditate, that people start lining up to take my picture. And then when I kind of wake up from my meditation, they all scream and run away.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah.
And this is what's so great about traveling during the summer is during summer, every Thursday and Friday, you can experience the fable of Hell's Valley at 8:30 p.m. When men, or I think maybe women, but it looked like men, dress in these big demon costumes and carry big burning torches. And there's a fireworks show that are supposed to sort of mimic the volcanic eruptions.
Ooh.
And so I'm going to just show you a little bit of this show here. Let's see if you can see this.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. So this is a show. There's an audience and there's these characters on a staircase with big it looks like those fireworks you hold in your hand, like the streamer fire, what are those called, like fountain fireworks?
Yeah, but they're huge. Yeah. And they're kind of just these demon looking people and creeping around on a staircase with these large fireworks, and then apparently after the show they do a meet and greet.
And Diane, now I'm trying to imagine Diane watching this. And does she smile at all? Is she kind of still in her coma, you know, like her severe coma of being Diane? Do you know what I mean?
I think she's still in the coma at this point, but she's having some sort of experience. She's not really sure what it is. But I think after maybe the fireworks display, like she gets a little like shaky and sweaty, and she doesn't know if it's the sulfur gases, but she has to run away and throw up violently.
Oh, my God. And tell me this. Is she still wearing her blazer, her ill-fitting blazer? Or is she maybe...
With her empty... Yeah, she's got her empty coffee cup still. And she's also brought her laptop.
Oh, my God. Diane. God. Okay. God.
Now, I get back to my hotel room. And to my shock, I open the door and I scream because there's a tiny demon in there.
It's got the mask on.
Yes, it's got a mask on. And I go, get out of here. You know, I'm just about to like
throw my laptop at it, right, when the demon takes off its face and reveals a little girl.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay, and this is Aya. Her name's Aya. She's age 9. She's adorable. She's precocious as hell.
Amanda, I don't like how in your... I'm looking at Amanda's notes here, and she did it like she was writing a script. She went Aya and then a 9 in parentheses. That's really sickening to look at. 9. Precocious.
It's so sad how much time we put into this. So who is this mystery child? You're probably wondering. Well, it turns out this is Tomoko's daughter.
You're kidding.
No. And she...
That's kismet God.
Well, it's not actually, because what happened was, unbeknownst to me, and according to Aya, Tomoko's been long dead.
Shut up.
And Aya intercepted the letter that I had sent.
Has she been living in that house alone without a mother or a father?
No, she's got a dad. Okay. She's got a dad. Okay. Also, like, what house? You said that house.
Well, the one you wrote the letter to.
Okay, yeah. No. She's got a father. But she's, like, apparently gotten a big fight with her dad. She remembers her mom used to talk about me all the time and how much fun we would have. And Aya wants to have a little fun. So she got the letter, ran away from home.
Oh, my God. And Amanda, wow.
Is at my hotel. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I... I'm like, I'm not a kid person. I'm like, I don't know what to do with these kids. I'm more of a demon type of girl.
She probably took off her mask and you didn't even see a difference. You know what I mean? Diane probably just kept seeing that demon.
And I just go, okay, so A, I'm calling your father. And she's kind of like, you're not really what I expected, because my mom used to say you were so like fun and cool. And I'm just like, no, you can't be here. Like, I'm calling your dad. So I call her dad, and he's like, he lives all the way up in the northern region. And he's like, you got to get her back here. Like, I'm working on this farm. I can't come down. Like, would you mind? And I go, well, what other choice do I have?
This is great. Man, what? Wow, I'm loving this. What a fun story.
So then the rest of my trip sort of centers around Aya and Diane traveling by train up through Hokkaido. So a couple of things. Now we're entering the eat portion of my eat, pray, love.
Were the demons the prey part?
Yeah. I guess me like vomiting and having a sort of visceral reaction was, you know, I got, maybe Diane had a demon in her that shot out.
Sure.
Okay, so Hokkaido, this is kind of getting into stuff also Amanda really wants to do in Hokkaido.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure underneath Diane is the Amanda. Do you know what I mean? We're getting more to Amanda.
That's exactly right. Okay, thank you for that. You just cracked the theme of my movie.
Speaking of cracked, let's learn about these crabs you got here.
Okay. So Hokkaido is famous for their hairy crabs, and I got to try it. I love crab. So our first stop after we leave the onsen area is to stop into Sapporo, Hokkaido's capital, and do some all-you-can-eat goddamn crab.
Wow. I love this.
So I found this restaurant, and it's, Maria, you had this experience too. We were chatting a little bit about it. Like, restaurants in Japan, and this is why it's so great, it's kind of hard to put your finger on them, because a lot of times the websites are not in English. You can't necessarily find like a Yelp page, so you're kind of looking at more blogs, and it's just interesting. But I found this restaurant. I'll click on this link. There's a huge crab on the outside scaling this like skyscraper. And this restaurant is called Hokkaido Mashike Gyoko Chokuzo Endo Suasan Honton, which means all you can eat crab legs.
Wow. 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 Okay. This looks great. Yeah, this is great. There's the wood paneling. There's the booths, like the wood booths. This is going to be good. And is Aya a crab fan too? I mean, is she maybe the one that said we should eat here, or is this new for her too? She's never been out of her small town.
She lives more inland, so she actually hasn't really had, she's had crab, but she's never had all you can eat crab.
Right.
So a little bit about this restaurant. It has a retro Showa era interior. There's a big tank where you can like pick your crab. And they have an all-you-can-eat crab plan for, let's see, I think it's 10,000 yen, which is around 100 American dollars. You can eat three major types of crab, snow crab, red king crab, and horsehair crab, and all their other dishes. And that includes the premium all-you-can-drink plan. So, yes, I'm drinking a ton of beer, a ton of sake. They have local sake there. And then this place even has a tuna carving show every Saturday.
And Sapporo is known for its beer. I mean, that's a Japanese beer that we're all familiar with here in the States, right? So you know, you can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong. And I love crab so much. I want crab legs. I want soft shell crab. Yes. They have like a crab soup. They have crab like pudding. I don't know what else they got, but they got it all.
I love a snow crab. Snow crab is my favorite kind of crab.
And those are the kind of really sweet ones, is that right?
Those are the sweet ones, and they're more thin. They're not like the giant king crab. They're thinner. They're a little, in my opinion, like easier to handle. And I just love a snow crab. And it looks like they've got snow crab up the wazoo.
They got it all. So that's, you know, part of my eat portion of the trip. But I don't think I is that into it because maybe I you know, indulge a little bit too much. She's uncomfortable. She's not touching her crab. I'm like, I paid $100 for you. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
We're kind of fighting, okay? So then we drive on. And our next stop, of course, we rest the night in some like Sapporo hotel. There's tons of them. It didn't really feel like I needed to get into that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the next day, we're going more inland to more of like the farm area of Hokkaido, because the other wonderful thing about Hokkaido in the summer is it's known for its lavender fields, its flower fields, its agriculture, because in Tokyo, they have this amazing fruit. They're like these perfect melons, these perfect grapes. They're huge and plump. You can even get a square watermelon, but they're like hundreds of dollars. They're very expensive.
I hear about these square watermelons. They put them in, they put them in square boxes, right?
Yeah, they're really cool. They're presented beautifully, but in Hokkaido is where a lot of this stuff is grown. So you can go and actually like pick the melons and, you know, eat these for a lot cheaper. So this is this area called Furano, which is sort of the...
I know it very well, Amanda.
Okay, okay. You might be doing some stuff there too. But basically, the next morning, Aya is irritated with me. And I go, you know what? Okay, you think you're so cool. Why don't you plan today's activity?
Ooh, okay, fun. Turning the tables. I love it. Okay.
So we're going on a soft serve tour of Furano.
Oh my God, this looks amazing.
Okay, and our first stop is Farm Tomita, which in summer has all these lavender fields, rainbow flower fields blooming for miles, and they have an iconic lavender soft serve.
Ooh, this looks so good. Okay. I love soft serve. I love it.
It's so... And Japan is known for its soft serve all around Japan. But I think in Hokkaido, because they're so dairy focused, it's like really good. So then right next to Farm Tomita, which you should check out their website. It's really cool. There's something called the Tomita Melon House.
And this is now this... There's a picture. Amanda's put a picture of a cantaloupe melon cut in half. And there seems to be a giant mound of soft serve on it.
It looks so good. And you know these melons are just so ripe. And they have a medley of just melon treats.
Yeah. I love this.
And there's like a little, it's a little farm stand. There's a little gift shop. Like they have probably a little melon mascot. I'm not sure about that, but I assume. But we're not done, because then we're going to drive about 45 minutes away to a sunflower field where we're going to try sunflower soft serve.
Whoa. My brain just exploded. Wow.
And of course, this is a lot of soft serve, you know, but I am taking my Lactaid. And also, I think all of these little establishments have their own little activities. And it's just, I think it sounds so fun to sort of explore some of these farms.
Right.
Okay, and then the dairy's not over yet because our last stop on this tour is the Ferrano Cheese Factory and Craft Center.
And this is the thing that floated by my head and I didn't grab, but I'm so glad you're going because this looks amazing.
So Hokkaido is famous for their local Camembert style cheese. And this cheese factory and craft center is so interactive. You can make your own cheese. They have cheese soft serve. They have this famous milk that's supposed to be so delicious. They have, you can make your own pizza. How good does this pizza look? You can make butter and it just looks like so much fun. And this is something I would definitely have to do if I went to Hokkaido.
Right. It looks great.
So those are basically my activities. I have to give an honorable mention to the wineries of this same area because, oh my God, if I were traveling without a kid, these wineries would be so fun.
Yeah, but it didn't stop you at the all-you-could-eat crab restaurant. You were really going for it then, you know, so much so that the kid got a little scared, so.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and that's why I kind of learned my lesson and said, you know what, maybe I need a break from drinking. Right.
That's good. That's really nice.
So, and during this time, of course, just checking in with the character evolution, I and I are giggling, you know, I'm putting flowers in each other's hair and taking photos and running around the fields, riding on tractors. You know, I think I take a soft serve cone and she says something snooty to me and I push it in her face.
Fun. And is it fair to say that your blazer has come off and now you're wearing more of like a tank, like a sleeveless blouse maybe that's under it and your blazer is maybe tied around your waist now and your hair is maybe like in a half up, half down?
Exactly that. My blazer is covered with dairy products.
Right, so maybe you throw it away. Maybe you don't need to get, maybe there's like a scene where you throw it in the trash.
That's perfect. I love it. And then a goat pulls it out and eats it. No going back now. Okay, and so now on to the last moment of my trip, which is the love moment, which is when we finally get to Aya's family farm. And I put this link here to an Airbnb where you can do an actual farm stay with a family, a Japanese family, and it just looks so lovely.
This is very
It reminds
nice.
Me of when we were in Sweden. You can stay in this cute little farmhouse and, you know, you get like beautiful farm breakfasts and it just looks so wonderful. And this is Aya's family. And when I show up, guess who's there?
Who?
Tomoko.
But she's dead, Amanda.
She's not dead.
Well,
Aya was just being a little shit. She wished her mom was dead.
Oh my God. So does Aya explain herself as to why? Is she having family problems? I mean, why did she run away from home? I mean, what's going on?
Well, this is the thing, okay? Wait, I'm just thinking of this now. The farm's been having financial issues. They might have to sell. And Aya is so angry. She runs away from home because her parents are no fun anymore. Mm-hmm. But then I show up, and as an auditor, I'm able to go through their books and help them make the proper... They have to fire a couple of long-term employees.
Right, right. And you don't find anything in the books either where you'd have to maybe turn them into the authorities. Like, everything's fine.
Everything's above board, but I'm able to go through their books and for once use my auditing passion for good. And I help save the farm.
And so, and then, this is a really wonderful story. And so when you head back, like, can I get the final scene of like when you're heading back to America, kind of what the vibe is?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to maybe be Aya and, you want to be Aya and I'll be Diane and we'll just sort of see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, Aya.
You're going back to America and leaving us.
I have to because, you know, work starts at 9 a.m. on Monday, so fun's over for me.
You know, if you had a little more fun in your everyday life, then maybe you'd be a lot happier.
I think you're right, Aya. And you know what? Just hold one second. I got to make a quick phone call. It's work related.
All right.
Hi, Tom. It's Diane.
Diane, how's it going? We're missing you here at the office.
Yeah, and how's my workload? Is it piling up?
You know, I'm not going to say we don't miss you.
Well, you're going to have to keep missing me because I'm staying in Hokkaido.
Diane, I don't understand. This isn't like you.
It's not like me, and that's the best part about it.
And then does it hang up, and then this is Tom. Hello? Hello? Diane?
And then he shakes his head like, good for her.
Yeah, he looks up. He looks down, and then he looks up, and then he smiles. And then it's Tom's story. And then Tom books a trip.
He goes to Hokkaido, too.
I love this story. I thought this was a great road trip. I thought this was a story of rebirth, renewal, about reconnection. And along the way, we got some soft serve. We got all you can eat. Amanda, you picked two of my favorite things, which is soft serve and crab.
Well, that's why Hokkaido's the perfect trip.
I know. It really is. It's flowers, soft serve, and crab.
Yeah.
And God, you know, I know you put that picture of Diane pre-Hokkaido, but I'd love to see a picture of her post-Hokkaido. And I'm just seeing kind of beachy waves in her hair.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing, you know, like a button-up, not flannel, but like kind of like a J. Crew button-up shirt.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And she's got a little sunburn.
Yeah. She's got a sunburn and she's got her freckles are coming out.
Oh, the freckles she used to cover with pounds of concealer under the fluorescent lights of her auditing business.
I love it. I love it.
I can't wait to hear your placation. So let's get to that after this quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay, well, in my placation, to reiterate, I am doing a luxury romantic getaway to Hokkaido with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not playing Maria. I am Maria, but I'm playing the part of Penny, a 30-year-old part-time nanny living in New York City. Okay? So
I love her already. Is she kind of frazzled?
Well, let me tell you, she lives in a one-bedroom apartment with two other roommates who both work in the fashion industry. And I'll tell you, okay. Penny doesn't. Penny is not a fashion girl. She's a wannabe writer. She wants to be a writer, but she's nannying. And she doesn't, you know, her roommates go to parties and they're lavish and they dress nice. But Penny is really kind of her head in the clouds, head in the books. You know,
she's got static cling.
Yes, yeah, she does. She gets her roommates throw her a box of Bounce, you know, static sheets. And they go, girl, try this. So Penny is trying to be, I'm just going to refer to Penny as myself now. Penny is trying to be a writer, but I haven't found my spark. And I actually do go into interview for a job at Vanity Fair, but I'm told that there isn't really any passion in my work. And the head of the magazine says to me, look, you're young. Why don't you go out and find it? Okay.
Ooh, oh my God, I got chills. So this is very, sorry, it's very Devil Wears Prada.
It's got a tinge. So as I'm walking home from my interview, and I think I'm kind of kicking the ground going like, why can't I find it? What's missing? I get a call from the woman I sometimes nanny for. And she's kind of a well-to-do woman. They are on the Upper West Side. And she goes, do you have a passport? And I go, whoa. Yeah, I have a passport. And she goes, good. She goes, look, I don't need you for the next, you know, couple weeks. My good friend is looking for a nanny for the next week. I'm seeing if you have any availability. And I go, well, yeah, I'm open. And she goes, great. He has to go to Sapporo, Japan on business. And his usual nanny just can't do it. They leave tomorrow. Look, he's looking for someone to travel with him and his three kids. And, you know, can you do it? And I go, well, yeah, sure. Who is this guy? And she goes, well, it's only the famous New York chef, Henry Rinaldo.
And he's single.
Well, let me tell you. So Henry Rinaldo, I want to give you an image of what he looks like. He looks like Tom Hiddleston, almost exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And he is New York's most eligible bachelor. His wife, and I don't want to get into it, so I don't want any questions, but his wife did die tragically 6 years ago.
Okay, that's a decent amount of time.
And he and his kids have been having some issues, and because like he's buried in his work all the time, he's always doing his chef stuff, and the kids aren't, you know, they're, he pushes them aside because they remind him of his wife. And so his therapist, I guess, thinks that they should come on this trip with him. They need to get away. I know the school year just started because it's fall. It's like fall. September. But, you know, maybe this can be a time for them to bond. It's like, hey, why don't you show them that, you know, you can be part of their lives. But, you know, the way he does that is to say, well, let's hire a nanny and go on this trip. Right. So he's checked out. He doesn't need to meet me because he trusts this woman that I usually work for with his life. And she goes, look, meet them at the airport. You're going to fly into Tokyo. He's got three kids, Chloe, Zoe, and Luca.
Okay, so we're recycling Chloe and Zoe from Berlin.
And it's and Lucy has now turned into Luca because I wanted a little boy. And they're 11, 9, and 7, okay? So I go, this is all backstory, I understand, but my roommates are like, are you serious? This is Henry Rinaldo. He dated Scarlett Johansson. You know what I mean? Like, he's no...
Of course.
And Natalie Portman, when they were probably doing the other Boleyn girl together. You know, like, he's been in it. So I don't follow that stuff, though. So I just, like, he's got a public persona of a bad boy. But, like, I'm like, look, this is just a job. I'm going. So anyway, pack my bags, head to the airport. I meet them. He's very much like, these are the kids. Thanks so much for coming. I got to get to work, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting with the kids in first class and I get to know them. Right. And they're really cool. They're like these really cool kids. And I decide like, well, there's no activities planned. So I have to plan some activities for these kids. So the entire flight, I'm like researching. And
well, maybe also you've never been on an airplane before.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it. And then like the kids are like, are you OK? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm totally fine. But then like I look to the side like, oh, my God. So the plan is to land in Tokyo and then take the short flight to Sapporo, where we're going to stay for like a week. Well, that's the plan, is just to stay in Sapporo the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the hotel we're staying at in Sapporo. So it's the Chalet Ivy Jozankai, and this is right outside Sapporo. They've got 26 spacious and elegantly designed guest suites, which offer picturesque views of the surrounding natural beauty of Hozenkai. All the rooms feature natural onsen, offering Hozenkai's famed mineral rich waters. And this is about $1,000 a room per night.
It's beautiful. It's very, that's the thing about Hokkaido. It's very, and there's a lot of crossover between like Scandi design and Japan design anyway. But it's very sort of like chalet, lodge, ski sort. It's very minimalist, beautiful.
Yeah. So, and it's not really for kids. Like this is all for him because he's on business, because he's not really thinking about the kids. So this is like a very upscale resort type vibe. There's like a really nice restaurant in there, but it's beautiful to me. I've never seen anything like it, and I get my own suite, you know.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you're not sharing a bed with him yet?
No. And he's like barely knows my name, right? He's like, but then me and the kids go to dinner because he's doing his work. We go, he sets up a reservation for us at this place. So there's this thing called Genghis Khan,
mm-hmm.
which is a type of cuisine, or they call it, and Amanda, maybe you can, it's Jingisukan or Genghis Khan. It's a classic Hokkaido experience. It's grilled meat.
Ooh,
it's meat grilled.
This is amazing.
In front of diners, and can be done with grilled lamb, mutton, wagyu beef. That's all raised on the island. And so you go, it's like this really, it's basically just this grill. You like grill meats in front of you and stuff. And it's a really fun experience.
So this restaurant is called Yozo Rano Jingisukan Honten. Yozo Rano Jingisukan Honten, phonetically in English. It seems like Mongolian barbecue, but with a Sapporo twist to it. But it's basically like you're grilling your own meat at your table. This looks awesome.
Yeah, they have like tables, and then there's this pot in the middle, basically, or grill in the middle, and then you just do your meats on it yourself. And so the kids really like that, and I've never seen anything like it. And they're maybe making fun of me because they, you know, their father's a chef, and he, you know, they've eaten everything, and they're like down to try new foods and stuff. But like, you know, I'm like, whoa, this isn't. It's a very unassuming place, you know.
It's great, and it seems like the communal table's awesome. Like you're kind of all sitting in a, like how you would do shabu shabu or Korean barbecue out in Los Angeles.
So the next day I decide, you know what, we're gonna go out on the town, and I'm going to take the kids to the historic village of Hokkaido. It's an open air museum, and it's a historic open air museum.
That's so fun.
It's in the suburbs of Sapporo. It exhibits about 60 typical buildings from all over Hokkaido dating from the Meiji and Taisho periods, 1868 to 1926, the area when Hokkaido's development was carried out on a large scale. There are four different sections: a town, fishing village, farm village, and mound village. So we spend the whole day like viewing all these things. And I love, and we kind of did this when we went to Sweden. Remember we went to that Swedish open air museum?
Yes, it was super cool. It's like a living museum where they had people like dressed up, and there was the blacksmith and the glass blower, and you got to sort of see them. So is that kind of what this is like?
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, walking around and you're kind of able to be in this living history. So we have fun, and the kids are kind of opening up to me while we're there, being like, yeah, dad's been, you know, different. And, you know, the oldest daughter is the one talking most to me because the youngest was, you know, I don't want to get into it because it is sad.
Yeah, but and they're liking you. Like, you guys are all getting along really well.
Yeah, they're liking
me. Because Penny's fun. Like, Penny's kind of like a big kid herself, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Ew. Wait, how's her static cling?
It's better. I mean, she brought her bounce.
Oh, good.
So when they get back, because I did so much research on the plane, I go in and I go into his room. I knock on his door and he's working, or he opens the door, and you know, he looks like Tom Hiddleston, so he looks really nice. And he opens the door and I'm like, hi.
But he didn't just like get out of the bath, and he's got a towel around his waist.
Yes, he did. And we're both kind of shocked, you know, because, you know, he thought it was the champagne he ordered or something, you know what I mean? But it was me.
Oh God, this guy's horrible. He's outsourcing his kids to Penny and he's ordering champagne to his room. Oh, he probably has like some, like a prostitute on her way.
So I knock and he opens the door and he kind of looks, and then I go, hi, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to bother you, but, or you be him. So you're Henry. Oh. Okay.
Penny. Hi. The nanny.
Yeah, Penny. Hi. I just wanted to say, I know you're going to be working here for the next couple of days, and I was actually thinking of renting a car and taking the kids up to Furano for a couple of days, because I wanted to show them the fall foliage. It is autumn, and there's some really great places up there.
Yeah. Sounds great. Do you need money?
Oh, no, you gave me that, you know, we've got that all figured out. But and if maybe you finish early or something, you could come.
Okay, great. I got to take this call. It's okay. My work colleague. But you have fun. Penny, right?
Yeah.
Did you want a glass of champagne?
Oh, no. I don't feel welcome. So the door kind of slams, and then you see me kind of look away, and then on his side he kind of, something in his head goes like, whoa, what am I doing? You know what I mean?
Well, like maybe she drops some little thing and like, oh, and Zoe wanted to say good, you know, Zoe, like, I just wanted to let you know that Zoe and Chloe got in like a little fight, and it's like you give him some information about his kids he didn't know, and it makes him feel bad.
Yeah.
I also think there's maybe some like sexy, high-powered other chef in there, like a woman who is him.
Yes, right? Yes. That's who he's meeting with. But then why would he have a towel? I mean, maybe I walked in on them. Yeah, okay, so maybe she's in a robe and he's in a towel. No, but I don't want, I'm trying to think.
No, so he doesn't have to be in a towel. Maybe.
He does.
Oh, she shows up. How about she shows up and she goes,
and she's in a towel
who's
too?
Who's this? No, she shows up in like a sexy like pencil skirt and like, you know, fancy high heels. And she's just like this gorgeous Japanese woman who's like really sexy. And
And she goes, the nanny, right? And I go, yeah, my name's Penny. And then he goes to her. He goes like, let me just get dressed and then we can head out, you know, because they're going to go, you know, do their thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe I say something like, wear the blue blazer, you know, something, a little party.
No, you say like, have fun working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But you're kind of irritated at him at this point.
So then the next morning, you know, I got a rental car and I'm putting the bags in the car.
Ooh, you're going to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's the other side of the road. I don't know if Penny with her static cling, she's going to get turned around.
Well, I got my bounce. Or maybe he hired a driver. Is that better if he hired a driver? Because it is luxury. So maybe he hired a driver.
I think, a driver is good. Or you can drive. I mean, you can do it. It might be kind of a fun adventure. Also, you know, public transportation in Japan is so fun. Trains are like so fun.
No, we need the car. Amanda, we need the car.
Okay,
we need the
car.
So we're gonna go, and I have a good idea. Okay, so I'm going to drive. So I'm packing up the car and all the kids are getting in the car and he comes out of the hotel with his bag.
Stop.
Yes. And he goes, are we leaving on time? And I go, are we leaving on time? Don't you have work? And he goes and he looks and he's got his sunglasses. You know, Tom Hiddleston wears those sunglasses really nice. And he's got his sunglasses on and he goes, he looks around and he goes, no, I thought I could take a few days and, you know, hang out with you and the kids.
And all the kids look at each other like, ooh.
And the 11-year-old Chloe kind of looks like she likes, if she's going to play matchmaker, she's going to play match because she likes where this is headed.
Okay.
So he goes, were you going to drive? And I go, yeah. And then he looks at me like, you would have never made it 5 feet out of here. Do you know what I mean? But then he gets in the driver's seat and he knows what he's doing, you know?
But you know what I kind of like is can I suggest something?
Yeah.
So he comes in and he just asserts himself. He takes the keys. He gets in the driver's seat and he pulls out and starts going the wrong way down the road. And then Penny goes, maybe I should drive. And then Penny drives and she's actually a good driver.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. Then we head over to a place that you're very familiar with, which is Furano. And this is I found this rental on VRBO. So it's this chalet in Furano. It's $1,100 a night, about. And it's got 3 bedrooms, sleep 7, 2 baths. It's really cute, very modern and sleek.
It's lovely. Well, what's interesting is Furano is where people go to ski in the winter.
Yeah.
So it's all these like ski lodges, which are really cute. But then, in the summer and the fall, it sounds like there's a lot of other stuff to do.
So it's this standalone kind of log, modernistic log cabin in the middle of the woods. We stay there. And then what I've decided is that we're going to do some sightseeing to look at all the fall colors. And the best place to do that is Sunkyo, S-O-U-N-K-Y-O. Sunkyo?
Sunkyo. So I don't know exactly.
We take the car to go to Sunkyo and these are the places we go to. We go to the walkway of Momijidani. It's a hike and it's just this beautiful hike with like mossy covered rocks. And this is a great place to see fall foliage. And along the trail, there's like waterfalls and beautiful stuff. And we also see the Ginga waterfall.
Something real quick about this Ginga waterfall, which is it's actually 2 waterfalls. So there's the Ginga no Taki and the Ryusai no Taki. And they call them, they're right next to each other. They call them the married waterfalls.
Ooh.
That is so cute. And the fall foliage in Hokkaido, I mean, it just looks spectacular.
Now, there's also Mount Kurodaki, which we will do the ropeway or the basically it's this a chairlift and you can go up over the mountains and you can see all like it's in the Daisetsuzan National Park. And you can take this chairlift that basically looks over all the fall foliage. So like throughout the day, we're going to be visiting all these beautiful places and hiking and just, and none of these hikes are too intense. Like I looked it up and it's not, it's like okay for kids to do. So this is not like, yeah, you know, crazy stuff. And he's going to be getting closer and closer to his kids where like he's going to be seeing how grown up they are. He probably has a couple talks with like the older kid being like, how are you doing? You know, and stuff like, you know, and it's just, they're having a really good time and I see it and I really like it.
And I think maybe there's something where like maybe Penny didn't bring the right shoes.
Oh, and then he has to give her his shoes.
Or give her a piggyback ride.
And when we get home, the kids are dead tired. They're dead tired and they all just fall asleep. And so he's sitting there and Henry's like, you know, you can take the night off. It's pretty early. He's like, you can take the night off if you want. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And so I go, okay. And so I go and head out into the town of Verano and I go to this restaurant. And like Amanda was saying before, every restaurant that I looked at looked so wonderful and just like the freshest ingredients, best food. This place got a really high review. I just sent it to you, Amanda. It's called Kaiten Sushi Topikaru.
Mm.
And it's this just this little corner sushi restaurant that just has really wonderful looking fresh sushi. And so I go and I go to the bar and I'm kind of eating. And who walks in 25 minutes later?
Henry Rinaldo.
He walks in and I go, Henry. And he goes, hi, I didn't know you were going to be here. I was talking to like Chloe and she said that she would watch the kids if I just went out and, you know, had a beer. And I go, do you want to join me?
This guy's a horrible father.
No, he's not. Are you kidding? He's the best. He's so charming. He's learning. Amanda, he's learning.
Yeah, I mean, he's leaving his 11-year-old in a foreign country.
He has a cell phone and there's probably, you know, a neighbor or something that can help. Or the driver. So anyway, so he goes, can I join you? And I go, sure. And so then we have this wonderful evening where we're laughing and talking. And there's this one point, Amanda, where we're like drinking our sake and everything. And he looks up at me and he goes, you know, when I first knew I liked you. And I went, and do you want to, let's do the scene. Okay, Amanda, so you're Tom and I'll be Penny. Or Henry, you're Henry.
Well, but I don't know what to say. Okay.
Well, you just have to be, the objective is to make Penny know that you love her.
I guess basically what I'm asking is, did you have something in mind for the first time?
No.
Okay. So you want me to think of that?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay. I got it.
All right.
You said something funny or you had like you spilled a huge piece of fish just went down your skirt.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just smiling at you. I go, you know what, Penny? You're really something. You know the first time I realized I liked you?
I didn't even think you did like me.
Well, that's not fair. That's what my dead wife used to say, that I'm a little cold. It takes me a minute to warm up.
I just thought you had your head buried in your work all the time, you know, and I just thought I was the hired help.
I deserve that.
Oh, God, Amanda, what have you been watching? That's sick. That's too real.
Especially coming from a girl who wears flip-flops on a hike.
I didn't know. I thought, I guess I deserve that. They've got each other's number.
Hey, what do you say we try some blowfish?
I've never tried. Isn't that dangerous? Don't people, isn't that, you know, like playing Russian roulette with a fish?
No, not the way this esteemed sushi chef. Actually, do you mind if I hop behind there? And I'd love to learn some of your techniques. And then I get behind the sushi bar.
Or I don't think he gets behind the sushi bar. I think this is what he says. I think he says, I'm surprised you picked this place because I know the chef. He knows the chef there. And it's and he's like, you know, you obviously have a, you know, propensity to find the good. And I go, yeah.
You've got a real eye.
I guess I do. And then what happens is we take a walk and, you know, there's probably a part where like he brushes the hair against my face, you know, or something. where he reaches down, God. And I've got something stuck to my dress, you know, because of all the static cling, and he like holds it up and he like waves it in front of me.
It's a balloon.
And we kiss, Amanda. We kiss under the Furano moonlight. And
wow.
And you know, I'm trepidatious about it because, of course, he is the bad boy of the New York restaurant scene. But then when we leave the next day, he's better now with his kids, and he's got a newfound a love for and respect for his kids. And we do a year later where we find ourselves back in Hokkaido for the wedding.
Oh, my God. So he fires you as the nanny and he hires you as his wife and mother of his children.
Exactly.
Okay, so then where does Penny's writing career end up? Because we haven't really touched on
that. She stops writing to be a mother, to be a mother to these children and a wife.
Wow, this is a real, like, this is a story straight out of 1999.
It's so good. Here's what I think happens. I think she goes home and she writes a story about her trip to Hokkaido, and she writes it like a travel, and it starts like this. It goes like, I found myself in a foreign country without any spark, and I left sparkling like the waters of, you know, what, you know, something like that. And then this article comes out in Vanity Fair and he reads it. And he,
oh my God,
reconnects with me, or he shows up at my door with my two fashion friends behind me, and they can't believe he's there. They're like, this is Henry Rinaldo. This is Henry Rinaldo. And he's standing there and he does like one of the, I'm standing in, you know, front of you asking you to love me, you know?
Wow. And then what happens to his girlfriend in Japan? Maybe he has to break
it off. She's a bitch.
With her.
She was a bitch since day one.
I mean, I love this. It is sick. And is again, seems to be totally G-rated.
But we kissed.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, but where do you want things to happen? Where are we supposed to go? I mean, we're on a trip with kids.
Well, I guess you could go out to like the back alley, like behind the chalet you're staying in.
The back alley? Maybe he takes me on like a fishing boat to like do like to
murder
to...
you.
Anyway, I think it's the greatest love story never told, that never should have been told.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, I got to say, he sounds like a total asshole,
but he learns. He's someone whose heart was broken. He loved his first wife. And then, he got burned.
Yeah, he got burned and he took it out on his kids.
Yes. But now that I'm back, now that I'm in there, I've really changed things for the better.
Well, Penny's a saint. I hope she's happy.
She's the happiest she's ever been, and the kids love her.
Very sweet. Very sweet. And I love it. I love that you did some autumn foliage, because that seems like it would be spectacular.
The autumn.
And some hiking.
Yeah. It was, and you know, there was a lot to do. I kind of kept it with between Sapporo and Furano, mm-hmm. but there's so much to do in the northern region of Hokkaido and the northeast as well. And there's a lot of fall foliage in the northeast as well. So, yeah.
Well, sounds like you're going to go back. And I have to say, I would love the opportunity to plan a winter trip to Hokkaido mm-hmm. as well, because there seems like that would be really fun.
Yeah. Well, guys, that does it for our trip to Hokkaido. Next week, we are going to be going to Prince Edward Island, Canada.
I know nothing about it. I can't wait to dive in.
This, of course, is this is Anne of Green Gables land. This is Avonlea land. This is very much the, you know, what we would see as like New England-esque of Canada.
Lovely.
So let's spin that wheel of adventure. As a reminder, we've got Roughing It, which means you are camping to $50 a night in accommodations, Economy, which is spending up to $250 a night, Extreme Comfort, which is $250 to $650 a night, Luxury, which is $650 to $2,000 a night, and Clooney Budget, which means you must spend above $2,000 a night.
Okay, go for me.
And Roughing It.
Oh, I think I can do it. Okay, go for you.
Luxury. That's $650 to $2,000 a night. Now, I know we had done seasons before. We're not going to do seasons this time because Prince Edward Island really is a summer vacation destination. So we are going to both be traveling during the summer. Okay, just for a reminder for the different occasions we could be there for. Honeymoon, girls trip, just traveling, pure relaxation, birthday party getaway, or there for a wedding, which was sent in by a listener, Nicole. Now, for the occasion, Amanda, I'm going to spin the wheel for you.
Okay.
There for a wedding.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm roughing it and I'm there for a wedding. Sounds like I'm someone's crazy aunt. Your turn.
Oh my God, okay,
a girl's trip.
That's fun. Okay.
That's going to be great on a luxury budget. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Okay, now we're going to see what our travel surprises. Now, a reminder, here's some different travel surprises, and these change week to week. Okay, end up in jail, you have social anxiety, you've got a gift card, baby, you meet a stranger with a secret, you have to see some sort of live entertainment. Okay, Amanda, I'm spinning for you.
Okay.
Gift card, baby!
Gift card!
That's so
good. Okay, maybe that means I can, on, you know, night three, I can upgrade to a yurt.
I think that means that you can have kind of one, you've got the opportunity to do one thing that would be outside of your budget, whatever that might be. You can make up whatever gift card you have.
Come on, social anxiety.
Live entertainment.
Live entertainment on a girl's trip.
On a luxury budget. Okay, so I am taking a girl's trip on a luxury budget to Prince Edward Island where I have to see some form of live entertainment. While Amanda...
I'm roughing it, which means I can only spend up to $50 a night. I'm there for a wedding, and I've got a gift card. So I got to say, it looks like the things aren't really leaning in my favor for this one. However, you know, anyone... I think it's anyone's game.
I know
nothing about Prince Edward's Island, so I'm excited to dive in. All I'll say is, I like camping.
I think that you're going to have... There's a lot to Prince Edward Island that's about nature, about beauty. I think you're in a good zone. I think you're in a good zone.
Okay. All right. Well, may the best person win.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening to Playcation.
Bon voyage.
Original.
Powered by Acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.